Good morning. Pastor Roy Carter here from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church. Just like to say good morning. Apologize for being late. One day I'm going to figure out some of this technology and just be able to click that button and everything is just going to roll like it needs to. But in the meantime, y'all just pray for me. We're here today that we might once again worship and praise our God, that we might give God the glory that he is due. Today is a beautiful day. It's a day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Here where we are in Racine, it's raining outside, but even in the rain, it's still a beautiful day because God is with us. I just want to encourage everyone. I forgot to tell you, I'm Pastor Roy Carter from New Life Christian Fellowship Church, 1529 North Wisconsin Street here in Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our telephone number is 262-417-7363. And our offices are not manned on a regular basis as we're not attending worship in our sanctuary, but we still continue to carry on. So feel free to reach out to us. Our mailing address, our email address, all of that information is in the caption there. Feel free to utilize it. Reach out to us with your prayer requests. Reach out to us with your concerns. Reach out to us with your encouragement. Reach out to us with your testimonies, testifying of the glory of God, of the wonderful thing that God has done, because truly, God continues to do wonderful things in our sight. God is marvelous. And so because he is marvelous, that's what he does. Marvelous. Marvelous. All the time. Sometimes we don't understand it. But when it comes out, I'm reminded of small children. And you can take a small child and get him a new pair of shoes. And he don't necessarily want the shoes. You know, he looking at him like, you know what? You get them on there and tell them, sit down, and you tie those shoes up on them, and he starts walking a little bit, and don't mess around and smile at him. And now he know he looking good. Oh, it's on and popping. Because God is marvelous, then what God does in our sight is marvelous for us, to us, and through us. And today we rejoice. We just give him the glory for all things in the middle of sadness. We still give God the glory. In the middle of hurt and pain, we give God the glory. In the middle of sickness, we give God the glory. We don't understand why some things work the way that they work, but we trust God. And so because we trust God, we know that it shall be well. So we just praise you this morning. We want to encourage you. You know, I'm noticing some people in our area here in Wisconsin, the COVID-19 pandemic, the situation is worsening when it should, you would think, be getting better. And part of the reason we're told by those that are in the health professions is because people just won't cooperate. Can I just ask you, please, I beg you, I implore you, put that mask on, sanitize, make sure that you're social distancing, stay at home. Go out when it's absolutely necessary. And if we all pitch in and do these things, we all will be able to go back to, as we say, back to normal. We'll be able to enjoy life again. I've seen some people that they feel bad for a day or two, and then because they start feeling better, they treat it as though, I've asked a couple people, I said, well, did the memo go out that everything was fine? And, you know, they just back out in the streets. And no, people, let's practice these practices that we all might maintain a reasonable portion of life, health, and strength, as God is our keeper. We want to thank you, those of you that continue to support our ministry at New Life Christian Fellowship. You can give. All the ways are there in the caption there that you can give. You can go on our website, and down at the bottom, you'll see the donate buttons. You can click on there. You can use the Giblify app and look for New Life Christian Fellowship Church in Racine, Wisconsin. You can even still mail a check or a money order to our church mailing address, and you will find that all of those ways are acceptable, and we want you to know that we appreciate it. I've noticed as pastor that there are some of you all that are very faithful in your giving, and you have not stopped in your faithfulness to God in your giving. And as a result, God continues to bless you. So we just want to encourage the rest of you, jump on board with us. Amen. And continue to bless the work of ministry that it might go forward. Now, I want to go to a word this morning, and, you know, not in the sanctuary meeting since back in March. And so there's some things that I missed saying. And one of the things I missed saying is, I'm not going to keep you long. So this morning, I'm not going to keep you long. I'm just going to keep you till I'm done. And when I'm done, then I'm done. But this morning, I just want to talk this morning about a mirror. A mirror. All of us, everybody has mirrors. You got a mirror in your house. You got, you know, several mirrors in your house. And mirrors are those objects that we have that reflect, that give a true picture of whatever it is that we're looking at. You know, you can be around friends and family or whatever, and, you know, say how I look and what you think about this and that. And they may tell you whatever they tell you, but you get a true picture by looking in the mirror. Because that mirror is that reflective object, that thing that is going to allow you to see you. Now, this morning, I want to just help us all to understand that we are all mirrors. We're all mirrors. And we should, as believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, be reflective of Christ in our lives. That's what people should see in our lives, whether they know us or not. That's what they should see in our lives, a reflection of Jesus Christ. Our scripture this morning is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read from the New International Version. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Talk about a mirror. Talking this morning about a mirror. You know, Luke, Jesus spoke in Luke, the book of Luke, in chapter 6 and verse 45, and he says, "A good man, woman, boy and girl, a good person, brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man, an evil person, brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." What do you mean here? I thought you were talking about mirrors. I am. And what we reflect is what's in us. What's in our hearts is what we reflect. As believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our duty, our job, our responsibility that we follow what it is we've been called to do. When people look at us, when people see us, when we see ourselves, we ought to see certain things. We ought to be mirroring Christ. And the first way we want to mirror Christ is by walking in love. Verse number 2 tells us that we follow God's example as dearly loved children. We walk in the way of love. That's what people should see in my life, is love. Not hatred, not divisiveness, not anger. Now, when I talk about anger, I'm not saying that it's wrong to get angry, but we've talked about this a few weeks ago, the fact that many of us will harbor anger in our heart, and that anger leads us to a place of ungodliness. When people look, The mirror, the things that we are reflecting, ought to be the ways of love. And what I found interesting is we many times have no problem returning love, reciprocating love. When we're shown love, when we're given love, we have no problem loving back. But the difference in loving the way God loves, as we should, as followers of Jesus Christ, go back to the whole story. The fact that the scripture says while we were still in our sins, while we're still separated from God, while God is still at odds with us because we're sinful, the scripture says he, out of his love for us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God made a way for us to be reconciled to him because of his love for us. I need you to understand that when you love, it has to be because it's who you are and it's what you do and it's reflective of the Christ that is inside of you. So it has nothing to do with what somebody else does to you or for you. I'm loving because it's who I am and it's what I do. So I want to reflect that in every way of living that I have. Jesus taught in John chapter 13, go down to about verse number 34. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. And then he goes on to say, as I, Jesus Christ, have loved you, you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. We've got a responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to love like the Lord wants us to love. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12 points out that hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Go over there to Colossians chapter 3. In verse number 13, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, you know, we like to claim ourselves to God when it's convenient for us. But as a child of God, I've got to be a child of God all the time. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient, I've even had instances where me of myself, I didn't want to love somebody. But I was real quick to be reminded by God, I have a responsibility to love like Jesus loves. And he goes on there to say, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgives you. And then he goes in verse 14 and says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I'm telling you, can you imagine how much different your world would be? We don't have to go look at the whole broad, you know, global world, just your world, those that you interact with, those that you come in contact with, be it in your home or on your job or your family situations or whatever. Can you imagine the difference that would be made if you were exhibiting love at all times? Now, love doesn't mean that you just enable bad behavior. Sometimes you got to say what you need to say. But even in saying it, there is love with the understanding that I'm saying what I'm saying, that it will help, that it will change a situation, that Jesus will work in the middle of it all. So as a mirror, I've got to reflect Christ in the ways of love. Also, I've got to find myself mirroring Christ by controlling how I act. Verse number 3 says, but among you, there must not even be a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. People of God, we've got to watch how we act. Watch what you do. You ain't got to do everything just because you're big enough to do it, just because you're grown, just because you 21, just because all of the foolish reasons we give ourselves to do what we do, if it's wrong to do, if it's sinful to do, if it's displeasing to God, if it's missing the mark, the standard that God has called for us to live in, you need to leave it alone. You need to leave it alone. Because I'm mirroring the image of Christ. So I gotta control how I act. I gotta control how I act. Now, that's a hard concept for many people to grasp a hold of, because they give control of themselves over to somebody else. Can you imagine how foolish that is? To give control of yourself over to somebody else. So now you're allowing somebody else to make decisions about your life that you possibly would not even make, that are not in your best interest, that not looking out for your spiritual future, all because you refuse to take control of you and how you act. The Lord expects you to take control of you. You can pray all day long that God help you stop doing something. We'll say sometimes, Lord, I'm just praying that you take this away from me. And all at the same time, we're getting another heaping of whatever it is that we don't need to have. Control. Control. That's the thing that we've got to exercise. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 points out that for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Do you know that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He empowers you, indwells within you the ability to say no to the things that you should say no to? You ain't got to go along just to get along. You should have some standards. You're a mirror that is reflecting the image of Christ. Many times you need to remind yourself that Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells you that we are not to conform to the patterns of this world, but we are to be transformed or changed. So we got to be different by the renewing of our mind. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will in our lives. We got to find ourselves doing this, people. We got to find ourselves doing it. We give control of our lives over to somebody else. I'm all right. I get excited when I start talking and I talk too fast and it catches up with me. I'm good. We got to find ourselves doing this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 tells us we ourselves put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, all of that which is idolatry. We got to find ourselves doing all of this. First John lets us know that nobody that's born of God will continue to sin. You just can't do what you want to do and act like it's okay, because it ain't. Well, I guess you can't act like it's okay. But remember, acting is just that. It's people that we see in the movies and on TV shows, they portray something that they're not. You can portray that it's okay, but with God, it's not okay. It's not okay. And that's the one that it matters to. Now, I've been recently saying, because I get things in my mind and I just want to make them a permanent part of me. And I say, you can do whatever you want to do, but you got to deal with the consequences, because there will be consequences, be they good or be they bad. There will be consequences. Now, you go on and do what you feel like you want to do, because too many times we don't look at the consequences of what happens, of what we chose to do, until it happens. And then we want to cry, poor me, woe is me. Sometimes I need to learn to consider the consequences. I've told the story before, many, many years ago, when I was in undergrad school, I had a car, and the car you know, it was my first car. Daddy bought me this little car to help me get back and forth to school. And the gas head didn't work. It stopped working. And it was going to cost probably more to fix the gas head than the car was worth. And so in driving, I made it back to school and ran out of gas right outside of the city. And so I called a good friend of mine there. And he came in, you know, came to see about me and help me out. Do you know the next week, because I would go home every week to play for the church, I get home and do you know that very next week I ran out of gas again? So I called him and he came, but he was a little upset. And he said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to come and get you this time. But here on after, you do whatever you got to do to make sure you don't run out. And if you run out, don't call me. Now, of course, I chose to take the path to go like, wow, he know my car ain't working right, and he know this now. And then we talked about it, and he said, if you need to fill up with gas before you leave home, fill up with gas. And here's me going, wow, why did I ever think of that? I never gave any accounting to the consequences that I would face. And many times, it's just a simple thing that we could do that will change the outcome for us. Controlling ourselves. We have that responsibility to control ourselves. We've got to be walking in the way of love at all times, and we've got to control how we act because we are reflecting the image of Christ. Just stop and think about it for a moment. Just this week. You ain't got to go way back. Just this week. Recent days. What have people noticed of you in the reflection of Christ in your life? What have they seen? What have they heard? How have they seen you act? You got to consider that the reflection in our lives comes from what's in our hearts. And we are not just decoration mirrors. You know, in most, a lot of people's houses, in my house, I got a couple of mirrors. They're just decoration. They're shaped in such a way you can't even get in there and look and check your hair and check your clothes. And you can't even do that because of the way that they're made. But then I have some others that are the mirror in the bathroom. It's right. It's there as best as I can get it. So the light is right because I need to see the true reflection. You're not just in life to be a decoration. You are here to be a reflective image of Christ Jesus. And then when we get through, you know, mirroring the love and controlling how we act, we got to watch our speech, what we say. Verse number 4, it says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I got to mirror Christ even in my speech. And not just what I say, but quite often how I say what I say. How I say it. As a believer, I've got to be different. You've got to be different. Many times we want to fit into what everybody else is, and everybody else is not claiming to be a child of God. So why would I want to fit in with them? I'm peculiar. The word teaches me I am peculiar. I'm different. So because I am, I act accordingly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, Apostle Paul exhorts us to retain the standard of sound words, which you've heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Jesus Christ. Sound words. We talk so much foolishness. And many times the foolishness is the fuel that we're feeding ourselves. We tell ourselves what we can't do and what's impossible with us and how we can't make it and how it's hard for us. No! I don't care how difficult things might be of me and my own strength and power. I'm relying on the power of the Lord God, who is able to do all things and do all things well. So I'm watching what I say, even when it comes to that. I'm watching what I say. Ephesians chapter 4, Verse 29 goes on to let us know, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. Check this out. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Many times we get on a bandwagon of helping to tear other people down. We should never be about tearing anybody down, but only what is going to edify or build up, make somebody else stronger. It aggravates me to no end to hear a parent talk to their child, and I don't care how old the child is, he's still a child. And instead of encouraging that child that you can make it, you can do it. Yeah, it might be difficult. Yeah, you might have to work a little harder. You may be judged differently because of the color of your skin or some other things that are beyond your control, but you can do it. And what many parents will do is sit up there and talk about, you ain't no good. You're just like your mama. You're just like your daddy. You're just like all of this unbuilding up conversation. And pretty soon the child starts to act like, well, I ain't no good because mama and them said I wasn't no good. They said I wasn't going to be about nothing. No, you want only things that are going to edify to come out. I laugh because I have some nieces that I don't think I've ever, they in their 20s now. I don't think I ever had to spank them. I don't think I ever did. And two, the older two in particular, of my sister's children, they used to be at my house all the time. They was at my house like they was at their own house. They thought when church was over on Sunday, they were supposed to go home with Uncle Roy. And I mean, they were little 2 and 3 year olds. They just felt they had to come home with me. And if I just said no, they would just act such a fool. I didn't let them come on home for a little while. But I always was mindful of my conversation. So when they would do something to act out, I would let them know how disappointed I was in their actions. Because as Uncle Roy's babies, I expect you to do this, and I expect you to do that, and ladies do this, and this, and I always constantly poured into them. And then when they got to be older and got to be teenagers and, you know, thought they was grown, there would be times I would come down on their case, but never to tear them down, never. I would always do it in a way that I wanted them to know that even when it's bad, I'm here for you. And not only am I here for you, I would push them to God. I would push them to God because I knew that's where their help was going to come from. We've got to make sure as a mirror, remember, we're a mirror, and we are reflecting Christ even in our speech. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, I started saying before I started coughing again. It said, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. Leave that backbiting and that tearing down and that fussing and that foolishness. Leave that to some folks who don't believe. Leave that to some folk that don't know no better. But because you do know better and you want to reflect the image of Christ, then find yourselves doing what needs to be done. Remember, God didn't call us to be decorative mirrors to just sit on the side and match the furniture and match the decor of the room. No, he called for us to be reflective in that hour. The image of Christ comes out in our lives to everybody that is around. We ought to see the image of Christ in our lives. We're loving like the Lord would have us to love. We are acting in a way that is controlled. We are taking self-control. I love that idea of self-control because I don't have to depend on other people to control me. I don't give my control over. I've admonished a few people. I'm saying, why would you give your control of you over to other people? And they said, well, they just push my buttons and they just do this and do that. Well, stop putting your buttons out there. They can't push what they can't get to. So why do you put them out there? Don't set yourself up that way. And then we've got to find ourselves making sure we talk, our speech, our conversation, what we say is reflective of Jesus Christ at all times. Why? Because we're a mirror, and that mirror has to reflect the image of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your gentleness to us. Even on today, you allow us to rise to see mercies today that we have not experienced before. Each day, you give us what we need to take us through that day's journey. Thank you. And then you don't just give us what we need. You walk with us each day. Thank you, Father, for walking with us and talking with us and loving us and caring about us. And sometimes in your care for us, you have to admonish us and rebuke us and chastise us. But it's all done in a way to make us better who you would have us to be. You allow us to go through some things, God. And sometimes the things that you allow us to go through are hurtful and cause us pain and agony. But we know that as long as we walk in you, we will come out on the winning side. Now, Lord, forgive us for any place that we have failed you by our living, failed you by what we said. We let our mouths run away with us and just did and all of these things. I said, forgive us. Wash us clean. Make us whole. Help us to remember that we must rely on you, our strength and our power, to live a holy and righteous life. And Father, as you forgive us, let us forgive ourselves, that we can move on from where we are to where you would have us to be. We don't want to stay in a rut and just spin around and around and around, but we want to go forward in you. We want to go higher in you. We want to go to a new level in you that we might experience, that we might share all that you have for us. Jesus says that he comes that we would have life and life more abundantly. We want this abundant life. But in order for us to have this life, we've got to become who you want us to become. Now, Father, we need your help to look on those that are sick and afflicted. And first, those that are sin sick, those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Open up their hearts and their minds and let them be able to receive the gospel of Jesus, to know that he comes to redeem mankind from their sins, paid that awful price by his dying on Calvary's cross, rose again on that third day morning, and is seated at your right hand, that there, Father, he might intercede and atone and watch out for us. Let men and women be able to receive Jesus as Lord, and then put him in a place as Lord, and then live in a place as the humble, obedient servant. We do want to do your will, Father. Look on those that are sick in body. There's no sickness that befalls us that you are not greater than. So it doesn't matter if it's COVID-19 that there is no vaccine for. It doesn't matter if it's cancer that the doctors have said everything is out of our hands and we can't do anything else. It doesn't matter if it's blood pressure that seems to be sky high on a daily. It does not matter, because all you have to do is speak and it shall be healed. So according to your will and your wisdom, what you desire, Father, touch and heal, that we might walk in the grace that you provide. This morning, Father, somebody is brokenhearted. Somebody is crying and looks like it appears as though it's just uncontrollable at the news that a loved one has died, has transitioned from life to eternity, and they're no longer here. And so the heart is hurt. The heart is broken. The heart is aching. Father, we know that you are a healer of even the broken heart, and you can give a joy that surpasses all understanding, even in the middle of tears falling. So do this according to your will, Father. God, touch the one that is alone, that feels abandoned, that one that feels depressed, that one that feels no hope, that one that feels like there's no use in living. We rebuke the hand of the enemy that would come to speak suicidal thoughts, to make a person feel that there's no use. Yes, there is use. In you, God, You can make the difference. You can change things. You can turn them around. So we entrust them into your hands, God. Just work in our lives. Help us to grow, to become who you want us to be. And we will give you the glory. We will honor you by our living. We will share what you, Father, give to us with others that they too might come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, God. Amen. Now you go and have a great day today. Live in victory. Remember, it's about living in victory. So go and live in victory. Choose today, I'm going to live like the Lord would have me to live. Get you a song and begin to praise and worship God. Just reverence him today. Just honor him today. Just thank him today. You know, sometimes you can sit and begin to think about what all appears to be bad to you. And sometimes it don't just appear to be bad, it is bad. But if you just begin to worship and praise God, not only does he lighten the load, lighten the mood, but he also sends remedy and help to change your situation. God bless you. We love you. Be sure to reach out to us. Share with us your testimonies, your praise reports. Send us your prayer requests. Continue to love. God bless you.